Marlene Bethlehem has lived a life that's both extraordinary and deeply rooted in the values of service, resilience, and Jewish identity. Marlene, just before I ask the first question, I hope you don't mind me saying that you were responsible for giving me one of the first jobs I ever had, and I have been eternally grateful to you forever. And thank you for that, and now I have an opportunity to thank you on radio. Marlene, your journey from...
Paula, before you go on to my journey, Paula, when I gave you your first job, it was wonderful for me because you were very dedicated to the work we were doing, and I got lots of compliments for putting you in your first job. So thank you.
You see, that's exactly what you're like, Marlene. You're always thanking everybody around you when really it's us who should be thanking you. But it's really nice. Thank you. Your journey from Wimbledon to Jewish communal leadership is remarkable. What thread connects those two very different worlds, Wimbledon and the South African Jewish community?
Thank you very much. Paula, it's quite a lovely question. I have to take you back just one step before Wimbledon. I went to a convent boarding school for 8 years. And during the time I was at the convent, I actually made up my mind that I would try and do something in the Jewish community, seeing I was in a convent. Then I went to university for 6 months and decided, no, that wasn't for me. I'm going to play tennis. And the tennis at the Maccabi Games, Paula, I was chosen when I was in matric. I was chosen for the Maccabi Games in Israel for tennis because I had just been coming right. And when I went to play tennis at the Maccabi Games, it was such an incredibly wonderful experience. The Maccabi Games introduced us to people from all over the world, and I had a chance to play tennis and meet people. And I came back to university and left straight away and said, no, this is not for me. I want to go to Wimbledon. And within 18 months of being in matric, I was at Wimbledon playing my first match. And for the next 4 years, I played at Wimbledon for 4 years running, and the last year I was there, I won the Wimbledon plate, and I also played with a girl that I had met at the Maccabi Games, and in fact, she beat me in the final. Her name is Eva Doolding from Australia, and we played together in the doubles in 1960, and we actually got to the quarterfinals and played the semifinals on court one. So, you know, Wimbledon was an incredible experience for me.
It sounds amazing.
However, when I came, just before I came home, because I won the plate, I was invited by the American Tennis Association to come and play in their tournament, all expenses paid. But, Paula, when I came home that year, I was coming home to get engaged, and so no tennis in the world was going to come before my engagement.
Well, at least you had your priorities straight.
and I can tell you that decision was a good one because I was married to my darling husband Brian for 61 and a quarter years. And unfortunately, I lost him 6 weeks ago. But he was the most wonderful husband anybody could imagine. Aww. And when I come to talk about my involvement in the Jewish community, Paula, it wasn't only in the Jewish community in South Africa. It actually ended up all over the world. And I could not have done one single thing without the great support of my husband, Brian. I was going all over the world. He came sometimes with me when I could, but I really owe so much to him. And talking about the Jewish community, Paula, this community is very exceptional. I have been working in communities, other places in the world, in Toronto, in Canada, and I went... Mendel Kaplan asked me to go and work in the old age home to see if we could improve. And I'm telling you, we are an example to the whole world of a community who keeps together, who sticks together, who works together. And we're a very, very special community. So how it all started is also interesting, if that's what you would like to know now.
I have a couple more questions. Can I come back to that in a moment?
Okay.
How did your
That's all right, Paula.
How did your early experiences in tennis influence your approach to leadership and service within the Jewish community?
Good heavens, Paula, that is a very, very, very important but also a very difficult question. And it's something that I have thought about for some time. Paula, when I succeeded in tennis, when I came home, I actually became a coach, and I was at a couple of schools. And Paula, when you do something like go to Wimbledon, even if you don't win anything, the very fact that you're at Wimbledon makes you feel very, very special. And then when I got into the community, the first organization I went to was the Jewish Women's Benevolent Society. And because I had achieved at tennis and people would talk about it, I thought it might be quite nice to do similar good things. Good, not for my own sake, but just to act in a way that the organization would benefit. And eventually I became the chair of the Jewish Women's Benevolent. And that's really how I got into the community, wanting to do more. I didn't ever think it would end up the way it did, but it was a very good start for me.
During your leadership, particularly of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, South Africa went through a seismic shift with the release of Nelson Mandela. How did the Board of Deputies, under your leadership, navigate its relationship with the new ANC leadership in those days?
Right. People must understand two things. First of all, it was Rabbi Harris and his wife, Anne Harris, who came from England at the time that we were just going into that period of Nelson Mandela. And Rabbi was really responsible for leading us into the new community. Really, he was amazing, and so was Anne. And then we come to talk about the man himself, the great Nelson Mandela. The first time he ever spoke to us was at a conference of the Board of Deputies in Carlton Hotel. And so many people came to it, we had to get other rooms with the cameras in so that he could talk to everybody. Paula, he said a lot of things to our community. He said he knew very well that Israel deserved to live in their own country. But he also said at the same time that the Palestinians also deserved to live in their own country. And one of the wonderful things of my career, and I don't think that I could ever talk about anything without talking about when I went with Mandela to Israel. Mm. I mean, he was utterly amazing. He was so, so wonderful to the people. And the very first thing we did after having lunch with the president, the first thing we did was we walked to the grave and Mandela wanted to put a South African flag on the graveside to show that he had this great feeling of South Africans. And we then went to the Yad Vashem Museum, and he first looked at some pictures, and then we went to the children's section, which you know is in complete darkness, and you walk around on and hold on a banister. And I asked him if I could help him walking around, and he said no, because His physiotherapist was with him. His knees were in a terrible position, horribly sore. Anyway, he walked around with a banner, and then Russell Gadden and Rabbi and I went to the next place, and we suddenly realized that Mandela wasn't with us. And Russell went back, and he could not take himself away from the section of the Jewish children who had died in the Holocaust.
Oh, wow.
He stayed there, and he stayed there even though we thought he was lost. But of course, that's where he was. And he was listening very carefully, because the names of all the children who were murdered are said all the time. And he was just amazing. He really was. He was totally amazing. And he had such a huge influence on the ANC in South Africa. You asked me a very good question. You asked me how we got on with the ANC, but of course it was Nelson Mandela who led the way.
Marlene, I just want to mention to people listening that if anyone would like to win one of two copies of your book, which you have so graciously given us, the book is called To Serve With Love, and I'm talking to Marlene Bethlehem, and the extremely complicated question is, what is the name of your book? Marlene, as a last question, while people WhatsApp us and ask for copies of your book, looking back, aside from what you've told us about Mandela, what do you consider your most significant contribution to the South African Jewish community?
Okay, well, again, Paula, you come up with these wonderful questions. Yes, although I happen to have been the president at the time that Mandela was president, which was a wonderful opportunity of meeting with him. And believe me, we often had things to talk about that were not just a cup of tea. We had difficult things, but he always listened to you. But Paula, I achieved something else in the last years of my Jewish involvement, which actually will stay with me as long as the Mandela wall. I became the president of the Memorial Foundation for Jewish Culture. It's based in New York, and we're in 55 countries. How I got to be president was a miracle to me, but I was at the organization for 15 years. Now, Paula, what we do is we train young Jewish children to be in Jewish leadership and to be in communities. And there is nothing more important to me when I think about it, that long after I'm gone, and I will in my 80s, long after I'm gone, there'll be young people all over the world, because we're in 55 countries.
Amazing.
Young people all over the world who will be in that position because of the Memorial Foundation for Jewish Culture. And I am eternally grateful that I was able to be part of it, but not only part of it, I ended up as the president.